Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage. Just
remember, all right, darling, folks, I know you think I'm going campy, but it's a very beautiful song. Welcome to the program this beautiful Friday on The Savage Nation. I am not talking about medical care. I am so not interested. I gave you a list of all the pre-existing conditions for 2 days straight. The only one in the media who actually did his homework and showed you that acne, eating disorders, heartburn, everything was thrown there as poison pill in there as poison pills by the socialist vermin who created Obamacare. What's problematic for me, even though I said I'm not going to talk about it, I'm not. What's problematic for me is apparently Trump believes in a patrimonial role of government in health care. He lauded Australia's health care system and Canada's and England's. Isn't that great? I guess a Leviathan government with a government-run healthcare system is just a ticket for the new Republican Party, with a cornucopia of social welfare programs to go with it. I mean, what's next? More crony capitalism? You betcha. More pharaonic public works projects to please Nancy Pelosi? I'm sure of it. So I've gotten that out of my system. I want to talk instead, since it's already May 5th, and please, no Cinco de Mayo. I'm not from Mexico. All these morons who celebrate Cinco de Mayo here, do they celebrate our Independence Day in Mexico, you idiots, you? What are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo for? It's a Mexican holiday celebrating the overthrow, defeat of the French in some battle somewhere. That's your business, idiot? An excuse to get drunk in a white suburban neighborhood and eat some carcinogenic hamburgers? No, I want to talk about vacation horror stories. Or actually, to change it a bit, I want Airbnb horror stories, because there are so many of them right now coming up. We know the airline horror stories. We know all of them. We know about the United Airlines passenger who boarded a plane in Newark, New Jersey, believing that she was headed to Paris, but she wound up in San Francisco. That was one. Not a big deal. But we have loads of other stories. I mean, they're coming out every day, aren't we, of what goes on in airplanes now. Woman says man groped her on United flight and the attendants kept bringing him whiskeys. Well, I hope that wasn't true. We've got all sorts of horror stories here. Urine-drenched seats. I know, it's disgusting. What do you expect with mass travel today? Urine-drenched seat. How about getting stuck between 200-300 pounders and ask them to move you anywhere? Please put me in the baggage compartment. A scorpion in the overhead bin. Barred from traveling and flying with leggings on. Trapped in the plane for hours after landing in Dallas. A dog's ill-fated voyage. Poor little golden retriever, I don't even want to tell you what happened to him. A child sent to fly alone, missing a connection. No empathy for autism. Someone asked for a seat change and was arrested. I swear to you. There's so many other horror stories in airplanes today, and it's a product, of course, of mass travel. Not everyone can afford private jets. So this is what goes on. They're called Airbus for a reason. You're on a bus. There's no elegance in flying. You're on a bus. I told you when I was poor and young, I went to Miami from New York on a bus. And it was so horrible. The people were eating fried chicken in Atlanta. We stopped 2 in the morning because we had to get out. They locked the doors and made us buy it in the rest stop. The guy's sister ran it or something. It was quite delicious. And the other passengers on the bus threw the chicken bones in the aisle. I mean, that's airlines. That's coming tomorrow. Chicken bones in the aisles. Remember, there used to be an ad in the 50s or 60s. They'll be dancing in the aisles for Greek Airways. Ha, 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 ha. I don't even think the Greeks still have an airline. Do they? I don't mean to be. What is it called? Kazantzakis Airways? The Parthenon Airway? I don't know what they have. Do the Greeks still fly planes? I don't know if they're allowed to. But no more dancing in the aisles. There's chicken bones in the aisles. But what about Airbnb horror stories? Now, that's a juicy one that I've never done that you've never heard yet. The thing that triggered this was a German tourist came to New York, and being the good liberal that she was, she took an Airbnb up in Harlem because she believed in diversity. Well, unfortunately, she had her teeth knocked out during a horrific robbery and sexual assault in Harlem. And, you don't say she... horrible, 31 years old, gone to a bar, again, with colleagues after a seminar at John Jay College on West 59th Street, and then took the subway back uptown to an Airbnb rental early Thursday. So she was walking at 2:50 in the morning. She's from Germany, of course. And she believes in diversity. Look how well it's worked out for Germany. So she gets an Airbnb up there in Harlem, West 146th Street, between Frederick Douglass Boulevard and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard, right near Jackie Robinson Park, at almost 3 in the morning, when a man wearing a hoodie approaches her. You could see the video on the New York Post. The man holds the German tourist against the wall, grabs her bag containing her passport and laptop. The German tourist apparently got hit in the face by the gentleman from Harlem. He hits her so hard that she's knocked to the ground. The gentleman from Harlem then hits her on the ground 3 more times, breaking her teeth. The man runs away because the German tourist was yelling. But then the man comes back when she passes out and gave her a good raping. The sicko, the gentleman from Harlem. Teeth knocked out, head beaten up. The thug then flees on 146th Street with the victim's purse. I mean, it's a terrible story. No arrests have been made. I doubt that they will be made because that would be horrible to do an arrest like that. The assailant is described. I don't have to read what his description is. You can go to the New York Post and find it. And then the other day we read about popular vacation spots that are death traps for Americans. Who would go to Belize other than a drug smuggler? I mean, why go to Belize when you can go to Miami? What's wrong with you people? You saw the horrible story of an American man and his Canadian girlfriend found dead in the middle of a field in Belize with their hands tied behind their back. Terrible. When you go for a beach, what do you think's going to happen there in the middle of the night? Belize has the 7th highest murder rate per capita in the world, as reported on Zero Hedge. Carjacking traps are something to worry about in the rural areas of Belize City. But there are other dangerous vacation spots that are sold as paradises on Earth. You know what they are? Oh, they have pristine beaches, but you're not a sea turtle. If you were a sea turtle, maybe you'd go to Jamaica, Barbados, Costa Rica, and the Dominican Republic. But they all make Zero Hedge's top 25 of death zones for Yankee travelers. Guess what is number one? Mexico! Go celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you morons, you. Number one, in terms of sheer murders. 598 Americans murdered between 2009 and 2016. So there are vacation spots that are death traps. Then there are airline horror stories. There are Airbnb horror stories, which I love to hear. I kind of revel in other people's misery. I don't know about you. Please tell me about a Airbnb that you rented somewhere that had like cockroaches in the pillowcase, no running water, no toilet. There has to be someone out there who got a nice Airbnb job, right? I mean, come on now. You know you want to hear this. So we got a couple lining up here, dipping their noses into the Savage 10 today on this Friday. Anything but health care, please. Anything but a speech by Donald Trump about how he's making health care great again. Please. By the way, thank you for signing the petition. We have over 10,000 names so far, which is a very, very good critical mass. And you're not going to believe it, but I sent the petition to get my name off the list, which I'm going to present to the president electronically via Sean Spicer and Renzo Priebus, whoever else I can reach. We'll see if he actually gets it and if he does anything about it. I sent it to my friends at the Chabad Jewish Organization because they did try to intervene on my behalf with no success many years ago. I feel maybe if a large Orthodox religious organization could get me 5,000 signatures in addition to the 10,000 I have, I think the president might understand there's political hay to be made. and being a politician, even as Republican cohorts might say, we better do something, even if it's lip service. So if you are a religious person in a Christian organization or a Jewish organization or a Buddhist organization or a Hindu organization, would you please download the petition on michaelsavage.com and circulate it amongst your co-religionists? Because it's not just about me, it's about all of us. Why should I be linked up with Ku Klux Klan members, American Nazis, Russian skinheads who killed tourists, Hamas murderers who beat in the heads of Jewish children's brains? That's the same list I'm on. And you liberals think that's fair? Let me tell you something. If they can do that to me today, they'll do it to you tomorrow. Okay, so that's the opening to the show. We're going to play a little music, vacation horror stories, Airbnb horror stories. You want to throw in some airplane horror stories? Go ahead, make my day. But I want to hear some more music as I go out the door in the first break. What do we have? We have Peter, Paul, and Mary. They're so boring. I cannot stand that group. They remind me of the newsmen of today. Do we have any other version of I'm Leaving on an Airplane? Didn't the Jefferson Airplane do a song with an airplane in it? Never? Didn't anyone do a good song with an airplane in it? All right, play whatever you have. I'm Leaving on an Airplane, whatever. Go ahead, let me hear that. 855-407-282, Savage Nation. Be right back. Oh, it's horribly saccharine. Please, turn it off. No. Anything with Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary X. Back in a minute.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. But there's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Welcome back to the show. Vacation or Airbnb horror stories is the topic for a while anyway. You want to hear news, go to, you know, a Drudge Report for 2 seconds. What, I want me to read stories and make believe I'm a genius? I can read you the headlines. You can do the same. It's talk radio. It's travel time. You all think you're going to be a new person when you get there. No, you'll be the same person, but worse. You'll drink more. You'll use more drugs. You'll exercise less. You'll put on weight instead of losing weight. But anyway, that's what we do. Americans, everyone thinks that they're going to get away from it. And we do. Airbnb horror stories, anyone? I ought to tell you some radio horror stories one day. Maybe the last day of radio, I'll give you all my radio horror stories, all management horror stories, technical horror stories, physical ailments that emerged as a result of being a slave to the microphone for 25 years. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. You know, life is wonderful. People are great and business is terrific. But I got to tell you, I just sent my assistant out for lunch. Just simple Chinese lunch. The guy knows me for 20 years. I asked for a simple eggplant a dish because I'm on a weird diet again. Like he did last time, eggplant and greens and mushrooms. You know what he sent me? Like a billy goat wouldn't eat this. No eggplant because that costs money. 3 pieces of mushroom in it. You want a horror story, a Chinese restaurant horror story? And greens. I don't mind the greens. Slimy and stems with a little bit of the green on top. Why does he have to cheat me? Why does the gaijin get cheated every time on a takeout job? They can know you for 50 years. They got to do this to you. It's sickening. In everywhere I go. Oh, yeah, yeah. In the restaurant, maybe you'll get a decent dish. A takeout, you know what you get? You get what they give you on United Airlines. I swear to God, there's no eggplant in this dish. A few mushrooms and the greens are probably better for me. I get it. The stems are better than the greens. I don't need the leafy greens. I need the stem. Like some goat somewhere in Saudi Arabia that they threw it out in a slop pot. You talk about horror stories? I'll give you some Chinese restaurant horror stories if you'd like. I was going to do a positive Chinese restaurant story today. There's a joint I've eaten in the city, you know, Hunan, that I've loved for years. I've complained about it, but I eat there religiously. I stopped recently because I don't go in the city a lot, and they're closed at night. But I read that the progenitor, actually the guy who started it, died last week or 2 weeks ago at age 99, Henry Chung. What a great man this is. What a great man he was. I'm going to read you his story, what he did in his life. And he was one of the first chefs to introduce Hunan and East cuisine to the U.S. Died at age 99. The guy was a giant of a man. I'm a crazy man for Hunan and what's the other one? The clay pot dish up there in the avenues, which, it's not as good as it used to be. I can't remember. Who remembers? The clay pot, big deal. But if they do it right, it's okay. But the Hunan's an amazing story, what he lived through with the communists and how he survived and every business he tried, him and his wife. They tried everything. They didn't need welfare like the current crop of so many immigrants. The guy comes to America. And in the early 70s, they tried everything they could in Houston and San Francisco. The Chungs tried every business they could think of, ice cream shops, diners, shoe repair services, toy stores. Then they had more children, just eking out a living. And finally, they opened a restaurant with the Hunanese food that they grew up with and took off like a rocket. Guy lived to 99. What a great man he is. Restaurant's terrific, by the way. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. So don't think it's just a general complaining thing. But for me to get a dish like this, local, I'm not even in the city. It's not from him. This is in another community now. This one I know is long. I don't understand why they have to cheat you. Why? We heard the horrors of cat in the refrigerator years ago. I don't think that still goes on, the alley cat chop suey. How about once banished rat over rice? That would be a nice dish. How about thrice beaten mice over fried rice? That would be a good one. Or, much beaten tofu over dreck. But I'd rather do a vacation or Airbnb horror stories. I'm in a mirthful mood. I've only a minor migraine today, not the normal full-on. Just a minor. It's because I shifted from the occasional vodka to white wine again. No matter what I do, I get a headache from wine. I don't care where or what, how, $500 a bottle, $2 a bottle. But I just don't want to drink the hard liquor anymore. I just don't like it. It's devastating. But I never get a headache from it. I'm sure vodka's better for me than wine. So I'm fighting my own instincts. I never get a headache from vodka. No congeners.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I'm not a big fan of his. I don't know what it is. I never really got off on him. Whatever. I'm talking about vacation horror stories, Airbnb horror stories, anything but health care. By the minute I hear anyone talking about health care, I change to any music station. I'm not interested. It's all a lie. It's big government. Republicans gave us a two-step. Of course, the Democrats will say, oh, they're killing babies and the elderly. Right. We all suffer so badly. We're on the road to Venezuela. We're on the road to collapse because of the big government. We're exactly what happened to Venezuela at their peak. We're way past our peak. Now we're living on borrowed fume money. So living well is the best revenge, taking care of yourself, losing weight, stuff like that, eating well, dressing well. Henry Chung, I told you, the guy lived to 99. His grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, asked him what the secret is to living well. Here it is. Her grandfather once told her she should live her best life. She prodded, "What would that be, grandfather?" He said, "Live a good life, eat good food, wear good clothes, and don't be sloppy." If only the members of the American press would follow that edict. You ever see how those bums dress? They get me sick. I remember the age when a reporter wore a suit, a tie, a white shirt. They look like homeless bums on the ground with their cameras. A Senate hearing, you ever see? They look like they've just dragged them out of a homeless shelter. Eat good food, wear good clothes, and don't be sloppy. What a bunch of slobs in the press. Like every day to them is, what was that called? Informal Friday? I don't think they own a shirt and tie. The Chinese meal. More grease just came off that dish that they sent me that I found in the oil pan under my Jaguar XKE, which is going in for a new seal. I couldn't even get the grease off the plate. How many years have I bought from this guy? Not that one. Not in the city. This one, this local guy. right underneath a fortune teller, no less. I like to send him upstairs for a fortune. Why does he smile at me when I go in there and then send me a dish like this with no eggplant in it when he knows I wanted the eggplant? And greens for like a billy goat. Not even the green part, the stem. And he knows I always ask for low oil, no sugar. More oil on that dish when I threw it in the garbage can than in the drip pan on the E, in the, under the rear axle. Airbnb horror stories. It's going to be fun today, I guarantee you. What other disabilities are exist? Let's see. The pre-existing condition list. Partial acne, anxiety, heartburn. Oh, I got heartburn? That's covered now by the Pharaonic healthcare system? Panic disorder. Oh, my. A panic disorder. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Who doesn't have panic disorder in this world? You know, if you don't have panic disorder, you're probably a drug addict. High all the time. United Airlines passenger with ticket to Paris lands at SFO. That's a scream. That would give me some panic disorder. I hate airplanes. I don't care. Private, not private. 30 minutes into the flight, I'm already looking for the exit door with a parachute. I actually started, you won't believe this, I found the journal book that I started Trump's War in December. I read it to you last week on the show. Pearls Before Swine. No one even said, great job, Mike. That's a great preface. How come it wasn't in the book? It should be in the second edition, by the way. I told my publisher about it last week. I mean, the preface that I wrote wasn't in the book. I want it in the second edition. Nothing, not a call. I read you The Empty Pedestal the other day, a work of Herculean genius. Three people heard the story. So look what I have to do for a living now, talk about horror stories, Airbnb horror stories. Look, I have a slapstick sense of humor when I need it and when I'm in the mood. Today I happen to be in the mood. Thank God it's Friday. One more day of radio, I would have checked myself in. It's so boring, it's a nightmare. Healthcare. Step right up. Here's the Republican healthcare. We did it. High five each other. Healthcare. Here's healthcare. Healthcare here. Walk away healthcare cocktail. It's a con. The whole thing's a con. What'd they do here? They eliminated taxes. They took off this. They took off that. Now it goes to the gangsters in the Senate. It'll all be put back and then some. Let's see. Broken hangnails will be added to pre-existing conditions. Cuticles that are hanging. Pre-existing condition. You'll get, I guarantee you that the pedicure lobby will talk to the Democrats and get pedicures in there. Long toenails will be in there as a pre-existing condition. So you can then go and claim it on medical care to get your toenails done. Wait, you'll see. Or toothpicks you can be able to buy, the expensive toothpicks. A sickness in every pot. Republicans have a $100 million slush fund and $8 billion for pre-existing conditions. You hear this? And they're telling me that they did something. I'll tell you the truth. I need circus music. I'd rather go for a dental implant again than talk about Trump care. I think a dental implant, a second one, would be less painful than talking about health care another day. Speaking of which, I got to go back for a checkup today. Oh, God. Again, another Friday, an hour after the show. Where am I? With laying in the chair. Look, it is so humiliating. That's called humiliation. Just going to a dentist is humiliating. Who can maintain their dignity? Laying back with your mouth wide open with strangers looking down your throat. How can you have dignity doing that? There's no way to have dignity. But what's the choice? You would look like you're from West Virginia otherwise if you let your teeth go bad. No, you know what I'm saying? There's bad dental care over there because it's not covered. From all the years of working in the mines, some of the teeth go black. How are you today? Here comes the famous talk shows. Let's snicker at him with his mouth. He does the best he can. Wait, you want to hear a dental horror story? Wait, I got one for you. A very close family member who I cannot mention went to a quack here for a tooth was bothering this individual 2 days ago. So he said, I got to pull it out. The molar has to go. So we got a call from L.A. No, come to L.A. I have the best dentist in the world, said another relative. This relative, okay, I'll go to L.A. to the best Beverly Hills dentist in the world. She goes down there. You know what he finds? Two dentists ago left a piece of cotton in the tooth from 3 years ago. I'm not making this up. A piece of dental cotton was left in there. by a quack. Could you imagine what that thing smelled like when it came out of that mouth? I mean, it was worse than the Chinese meal that was just sold to me. God. No, look at the things that doctors and dentists can get away with. How do they do this? How does he leave a piece of cotton in there for 3 years? So this one said, I'll do a root canal and save it. Agony. Agony, a root canal, ripping out the root. I don't understand this whole thing. But it's a different world. Look, your parents probably had the Martha Ray Sizzlers next to the bed. What would you rather have? A little pain and a fake tooth? Will you look like Bob Hope or Barack Obama? Or would you rather be have a little glass next to your bed with a Polident? How can you ever have sex again if you have, like, those teeth? The choppers next to your bed. You look like Uncle June in The Sopranos when they put him in the old age home. But, you know, talk about sex in old age homes. That's another story I did want to handle because I know people who work in old age homes. They do it like mink and heat, I hear. They got nothing to lose. Do you know that STDs are out of control in old age homes, whatever they call them today? I don't know. They give it a new name. It used to be an old age home. Now a nut house is called something else. A prison is called something. Nothing. You have to remember what it's called. In old age homes, apparently, there's a lot of sex, and STDs are rampant. Not only do they figure they got nothing to lose, but they can't get pregnant, so they don't use you-know-what, and there's a lot of, spread around in there. Who would ever want to have sex in an old age home? Just the thought of it, with the smell of decay everywhere around you and Lysol. How could you even get erotic? Could you imagine having an erotic... No, it's a thing of life, 101. Is there any erotica available in an old age? How can you do that in an old age home? Shame on you for even thinking about it. But people do it anywhere. They do it in the road. Look what happened to the Beatles. Okay, let's take an Airbnb horror story before I get lost here in the shuffle here. I will not mention Trump's war and that it's still doing great and that you should buy it because it's more important than ever. I will not mention that you should go to michaelsavage.com and share the petition, not only amongst yourself. Notice I didn't say amongst yourselves because that would be talking to a schizophrenic. Share it amongst yourselves. Sign it and send it to a church group, a religious group, a Buddhist group, a Hindu group, a Muslim group. Yeah, right. It's going to be very popular in mosques to ban, to get me on. It's going to be very, very heavily shared in the mosques of America to get me off the list. I can guarantee you. Oh, yeah, well, imams are so American today, they're going to share, get that man's name off. While we don't agree with him, we would fight to the death his right to say it. Sure, yeah, they've been assimilated, right. But there's no excuse for you Christians not to do it, I got to tell you. Is anyone listening to me right now? Okay, we'll move on. I got 10 Airbnb horror stories that I'm afraid to take. They're so horrible. Oh, Gingrich is back. Oh, God, no. I hear he's going to become chief of staff. I can't tell anyone. I hear he's getting ready to replace him with, I hear he's coming in. Oh, God, we're going to have to listen to the trombone player now. Callista, she comes along with the package. And now my beautiful wife, Callista Gingrich, with the trombone. Okay, the guy who stabbed Trump in the back is going to be chief of staff. That makes sense. Gingrich tells Republicans, go sell your bill. Trump's staying at his New Jersey golf club to avoid New York City disruptions. All right, we'll do the same thing, especially if someone's paying for it. Healthcare here. Airbnb horror stories here. WBOB in Jacksonville. We're going to go all the way to Florida for one. Linda, what happened to you on your Airbnb horror story?
Well, it was kind of funny. I had retired in June from teaching for many years, and my husband and I decided that we wanted to get away. We live in Michigan. It's pretty cold in the winter, so I thought, I'll go on Airbnb, and we'll see what we can get in Florida. So I put in 3 months, and I put, like, a really low price, thinking, there's nothing out there. So I get something. There's a hit.
Wait. How much, what price did you say you'd pay?
I think I must have said, like, $300-$400. I mean, it was really low.
What, $300 for 3 months?
Something like that. Maybe it was a little bit more. I can't remember. But it was really low. And it was.
Well, maybe Mar-a-Lago has a spare room now that the president's in New Jersey. So what happened?
Oh, you think? Get a hit. It's a tent. It's in South Miami. It's a tent in somebody's backyard. It's not even a nice tent. There's patches all over the tent. And I'm thinking, this has got to be a joke. It's not. And he says, in his ad, he says, well, you can use the bathroom if you need to.
It was a tent?
Okay. This is
Did you say it was a tent?
Stay in the small RV.
Did you say he gave you a tent?
It was a tent. It was a small orange tent with patches on it, like it was torn.
Well, did you enjoy it? Did you stay?
No, I didn't go. I was like, I had my own tent, you know, and we.
But did you get your money back?
Place and we'll stay in the RV, but there are things out there.
All right, better off in the RV, the RMB. Stay in the RMB. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Nobody knows flowers better than me in radio. Nobody. And when you send 100 blooms from Mom Bouquet from Pro Flowers for Mother's Day, you're going to make a real impression. They're the best. Free glass vase, $19.99, plus shipping handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you upgrade a little bit. Don't be cheap. A $10 more premium vase, and you get gourmet chocolates for just 10 bucks more. Look, I have sent these flowers from Pro Flowers. Nobody has ever said anything, but I love them. Everybody loves them. Choose a delivery date you want, and Pro Flowers are guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for over 7 days, at least 7 days, you get your money back, and they do. Don't forget all of the moms in your life, mom, grandma, wife, other mother figures, this Mother's Day. And the only way to get 100 blooms from mom with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit ProFlowers.com, click on the mic in the right, and if you're going to buy these for anyone else, I'm going to be mad at you. You click on the mic and you use my code SAVAGE. That's it. Support the show if you're going to buy Pro Flowers. That's proflowers.com, code SAVAGE when you click on the mic. And this is a stunning bouquet. It sells out fast, period. End of story. Go for it. Vacation horror stories is what we're doing. And I'm in a little bit of a wacko mood because I can't stand the news. Not one more second. Nor can you. I don't care about the news. Please, I wish Trump would get out of the news for a month. Can he just take a vacation? He's going to go see the Pope now. And who's next? Where's he going? He's going to go see the Pope. Of course, Netanyahu's on the list. Break some matzah with him. France is already over. The Nationalists lost and Rothschild Bank won. Macaroni is going to win. Macaroni, the guy with the cold, staring, horrible, socialist death eyes from the Rothschild Bank. Don't you just love it, the man of the people's from the Rothschild Bank? That's like Obama was the man of the people. $70 million book advance and $400,000 speech to Wall Street. A man of the people, you schmendrix. And you bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I never bought it. I don't buy anything. It's delicious. I'm having my one diet soda this right with this horrible Chinese grease meal. And it's Friday, that's all. You want to join the show? Maybe call 855-107-282. If not, we'll get through without you. Don't worry, we can do without you. If you got a good horror story, you'll get on the radio, that's all. Here's one coming up. George on KSFO, 1 minute or less, horror story, Airbnb, what happened?
Oh, Michael. Yeah, hey, you're my hero, Michael.
Okay, that's 13 seconds. What happened?
Okay, hey, well, we went to Sydney, Australia.
Oh, who would go to Sydney? Okay, go on, and?
Anyway, it was a family vacation needed.
All right, that's another story. So you have an Aussie in the family. What happened?
I told my wife, I warned my wife, I said, you know, this isn't a hotel that if you don't like the room, you go to the manager.
20 seconds. Tell us the horror story. What happened, please, George?
Walked in the apartment, three bedroom apartment, and it smelled like pee.
Like tea or pee?
P-double-E, sir.
Ah, oh, well, that was the Aussie way. Well, it's the national sport there is puking on car fenders. So perhaps some of the boys went out for a beer the night before.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's not a political outcome, it's a human outcome. This isn't the America that I love. The America that I love cares about my right to life, even though I'm 46 years past being a fetus. The America that I love loves diversity. This isn't robbing Peter to pay Paul. This is killing Peter to pay Paul. This isn't America.
Where did MSNBC get this crybaby? Unbelievable to me, crying over the health care plan. She doesn't even know what's in it, but she broke into tears and worked in diversity into the story, no less. This is wonderful. This is the state of why America loves the media so much. Yeah, right. So we're talking about something else other than healthcare, which is vacation or Airbnb horror stories. And we're working in nursing home sex horror stories. Because I mentioned it in passing that a lot of it goes on, so now I'm getting nurses calling, telling horror stories about sex in nursing homes. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that. Please. The smell of chlorine and Listerine and all the enes. How in the world can anyone have an erotic feeling in that situation? Let alone how people look. Okay, I understand that Viagra causes temporary blindness, which is one of the reasons it works. I get that. You know, not only do you see blue, you see nothing. So therefore, you can have sex with someone you don't even like. That was the whole object of the pill. But I don't even know if they dispense it. Maybe they could put that into the healthcare bill. Maybe that could work. Wait a minute. Let me look at the list. Let me see here. Acne's in there. Anxiety. Eating disorder. Heartburn. Did they put in sexual deprivation? They can make that a disease. Maybe the government can provide prostitutes for you as they do in France or Italy. Would you believe this? I think in the Netherlands, they call it a disability if you can't, for older people, they pay for it. I swear, it's crazy. So we're talking about airline horror stories. Like everybody travels, they think they're going to feel better wherever they go. They don't. They take themselves with them. And that's why you normally have a very bad time and can't wait to get home to your own bed for the first night's sleep in 2 weeks. Here's a story now. Panicked flight attendant during extreme turbulence asking, is he dead? Recent AirAsia X flight. The crew got knocked on the ground, trays of food flying in the air from extreme turbulence. No one hurt, thank God. But the staffs are crying and screaming. I mean, what do you expect in an airplane over there in Malaysia? How about Aeroflot? How about a Russian flight where severe turbulence was recently described as feeling like being spun around in a washing machine? You'd expect less on a Russian airplane? I'm trying to think of my worst flight. I don't even have one. I don't remember. I don't do much commercial anymore, if I go at all. I do an occasional Southwest to L.A. That's it. Southwest is a good airline. I don't have any problems there. But I once took a friend with me who got so mad because they wouldn't serve him peanuts. He's an older man. He said, I want my peanuts. And they said, no, sir. There's a man who says he has allergies to peanuts in the back of the plane. He said, let him go to hell. Get him off the plane. I want my peanuts. Why should I be denied peanuts? Because he has a peanut allergy. That's the way he is. They didn't throw him. And that was 2 years ago. Today, they tape him down. Today, the marshals would come on the thugs. They drag him off, 85 years old. Anyway, but there are airline horror stories, which you hear about. Groping stories. Spiders, urine in a seat. A passenger on a Newark to Los Angeles flight said her seat smelled like urine and the floor was moist. Ugh. She and her seatmates complained to the United flight attendants, who were rude, and refused to move her to an empty seat in business class. She said, they told me I can go to the lavatories, get some water and soap, and wash my seat. Ugh. Well, I guess now if you fly United, you take a seat cover with you. I mean, you can carry a seat cover like a car seat cover would be safer anyway with what's in the airplanes today. It would cut out the bed like a bed bug resistant panel in it. I often wonder about, are there bed bugs on airplanes? Ugh, the sleeper sections. I love that. I had a wonderful night's sleep on a flight to London. What? How good can you sleep at 38,000, 40,000 feet when you know you're near death any second? San Francisco to London, like 10, 12 hours. The longest flight in the world is San Francisco to Sydney. It's the longest flight in the world, or L.A. to Sydney, I think, like the longest. Someone I knew just flew all the way, I mean, to like Turkey. Turkey. Could you imagine 14 hours in an airplane going to Turkey with no alcohol served? Who drinks alcohol would fly on an airline that serves no alcohol? How could you fly 14 hours without a drink? In a sense, though, you're probably healthier from no dehydration. You're better off drinking a bottle of water every hour, but go tell, you know, whatever. But you could bring a little Lysol on the seat, a little Saran wrap. How about Saran wrap for a nice United flight? I'm not picking on them. Let's say you get a urine-soaked seat. You bring diapers now, Saran wrap, disinfectant spray. That's the new flying. Okay, now my worst horror story, now that I'm thinking about it, just for a Friday fun, let it go. A number, you heard the story once, but I'll tell it again. It really did happen. Cancun, 5, 6, 7 years ago, family was going to give dad a treat. We all flew to Cancun, maybe longer than 7 years ago. I didn't want to go to Mexico to begin with. That's number one. I don't like the food. There was nothing to go. They wanted to go, again, the beaches. All right, so look. They assured me I was going to get in the best room, top floor corner, looking at the beach with cross ventilation, because I'm a very fussy traveler. I check in. The first thing I do is pull back the bed cover, because I know, you know, first of all, a bed cover is a repository for microbes of the world. You can get 3 new PhDs from what you can culture out of a bed cover in Mexico, or anywhere for that matter, but are you kidding me? A bed cover in Mexico? If you're a microbiology student, all you got to do is put that bed cover in a plastic thing and take it home. You cultivate 5 new organisms and name them for yourself. It could be like Toxoplasmus savagii. Can name new organisms. That's a tricky thing to do properly, by the way, to get the species right. The savagii thing is very hard. So nevertheless, I pull the bed cover back. Still good, but the sheet looked slightly not clean. Nothing wrong, but I figured, look, I'm staying up in a penthouse, please. So I said to the woman, could you please come up, change the sheets? She says, no, we're not changing the sheets. I said, as I'm talking to her, some fifth sense in me, I pull the sheet back. Blood, stained blood in the middle of the mattress. Either somebody gave birth in the bed or was killed there. I mean, this is Cancun. I almost died. I went berserk. I said, you give me a new mattress and we're all checking out of the 6 rooms. Si, senor, we'd be right up. So 4 guys come up schlepping another mattress, this one sanitized, like they saved it for like whatever. So that was my trip. I couldn't relax for the rest of that trip. Nah, I wasn't going to eat the sewer shrimp, the camarones I'm going to enjoy next on the beach. Yeah, give me the sewer shrimp with lime. I really like that. That's terrific. Yeah, and bring some tap water when you go. Yeah, bring up some tap water. I don't want any bottled water. I want tap water and sewer shrimp to go with it. All right, that's that. You got a better one than that? See if you can top it. That's all. I know some of you enjoying this. I suspect someone's enjoying the show. And you're just like dumbfounded. Now you don't want to call because you don't travel anyway. You have no money. That's why you listen to talk radio. It's free. That's all. You don't have cable, so you listen to me. What caused Venezuela's collapse is no mystery except to economically illiterate journalists. Great article linked up on michaelsavage.com. You'll see that we're on the road to collapse. Venezuela before Chavez, a prelude to socialist failure. Great article. And how socialism creep, which has been unfolding in this country, is exactly what led to Venezuela's collapse, where there is now a dictatorship and people are fighting over food and killing zoo animals to eat. Here's another one. Baby powder lawsuit. Woman with ovarian cancer awarded $110 million from Johnson & Johnson. This is the talcum powder mythology. Is there any causative link between talcum powder and cancer. Now, I happen to know that talc may contain lead. I understand that. But how do you get $110 million from a company by saying they failed to disclose the cancer risk from its baby powder? There's no causative link at all. It's a very, very mild association between the use of baby powder and cancer. It is certainly not causative. I don't understand how a jury... Well, juries are idiotic. They shop for moronic juries. The stupider you are, the more higher your chance of getting on a jury. First of all, everybody I know tries to avoid jury duty. Either they go in and fake epilepsy looking up at the lights or during jury selection. They stare up at the fluorescent lights and they have their eyes flicker. So they get my way out of jury duty once was simple. I didn't want to do it. I'm sorry. First, I had to be honest. I took a copy of one of my books. They didn't know who I was, so I'm sitting there with 300 other Schmendricks in the pool where the lawyers are trying to find the dumbest. They cull the crowd of anyone with an IQ over 14, they get rid of you. No, anyone over like a moron level, they get rid of. So they leave the ones below moronic level, and then on top of that, if you can think at all, they get rid of you. That's jury consultants. So I wanted out of it. I just couldn't go through it. The guy on trial was a Mexican alleged drug dealer with three free translators. I swear to God, the snake boots, the hat, the whole thing. I wanted nothing to do with this trial, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so I brought a copy of one of my books. Right away, right off the bat, I said, I raised my hand. I caused a disruption. You're not supposed to even move. It's like worse than a United Airlines flight being in a jury pool. You're like so afraid of the bailiffs. Even as a potential juror, you're afraid of doing something wrong and getting arrested. Can I approach the bench? They were like shocked that one of the dummies asked the question. They were stunned. So they didn't answer me. I said, Your Honor, I need to approach the bench. Well, of course, all right. They figured I'm a nut. I come up and say, look, can I see you? So I go up there. I take out a book. I said, look, I don't want to be a wise guy here, but I am the author of this book. And I actually cannot be objective in this case. I'm a super conservative talk show host and the mayor. This is your Michael Savage. Dismissed! Dismissed. I mean, I had to be fair to the guy on trial. You know, figured I wouldn't give him a fair trial. We could throw that in too, a little jury horror story if you'd like. You think airplanes are bad? Go try a jury story. How about some jury horror stories are even better? I can just imagine what goes on in there. Right? Who got off recently for a crime you know they committed? Anyone with money who hired a good lawyer, you think? All right, that's that. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. Enjoy yourself. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey. Cheated though because I picked it. 855-400-7282. I got a nightmare coming up, which is the weekend. I mean, I don't know what to do off radio. I have no hobbies. I have no outlets whatsoever. All I do is this 3 hours a day. I think about it all day long, study for it all day long. The minute the show is over, I fall into a black nightmare. It's nightmarish out there. 3 hours a day, I fly like an eagle. 21 hours, I crawl like everyone else. Waiting for the inevitable end of deciding either the box or the oven. I still haven't made up my mind. I mean, with the teeth, the mortality thing, that's why I wrote the empty pedestal the other day. I mean, I can feel it. It's like every time you have teeth removed or fixed, it's like, oh, with God, it's so morbid. You know, here's another tooth. Have a nice day. Go home and have a good weekend. Wait, to top it off, next Friday I'm getting a colonoscopy. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not like on NBC. I had one 10 years ago. I hated it. I mean, I just, who loves it? I mean, maybe if you're sick, you like colonoscopies. I don't really know. If you're into the degrading sex, maybe you like colonoscopies. I really don't know who likes them. But I particularly hate them. Because I don't go for the knockout drop, the hypnotic where you don't know where you are and you wake up. Hey, that's fine. What happened to me? Was I raped somewhere? No, I mean, I don't want that. So all I'm taking is some Valium. The last time I watched it, I was like, bleary, laying on the thing on the side. There's the camera there and the monitor. And I see a nurse approach me with looked like a kielbasa. I said, where are you going with that? I said, where am I? Did I make a wrong turn somewhere in San Francisco? What are you doing to me? Anyway, thank God there was nothing wrong. Just one polyp they knipped. Because my mother, God rest her soul, you know, she went to 88. And that's what did her in. I don't want it. That's a horrible death. You know, first of all, I got to tell you this. The data on the whole data on this is not that good. It could be a little bit of a mythology to a certain extent. I know you believe it's absolutely necessary. I'm not so sure. It's like the cholesterol myth. My cholesterol's been off the charts for 30 years. And so my LDL and HDL upside down, triglycerides wrong. So what does it mean? It's a statistical thing that may not have any bearing on your health, incidentally. And in fact, as you well know, the anti-cholesterol drugs cause tremendous damage to your musculature and to your liver. But don't ask your doctor to tell you about that part of it, because they'll treat that with another drug that could kill something else. So what's your answer? Don't live like a pig. Exercise a little bit more. Eat a little better. Drink a lot of water. Pray a lot. And that's all. And wish for the best. It's not as simple as that. Like right now, after all the antibiotics I took for the dental work, I just give you an idea. I really do practice what I preach. I'm taking massive doses of certain nutrients. And I'm taking, for example, right now, milk thistle. Oh, it's milk thistle. Well, the data is very good on it. It actually is one of the few herbs that is shown in good experiments to regenerate liver cells. Fabulous, fabulous. But you have to read the medical literature, not just newspapers. I don't take milk thistle regularly, but after all those antibiotics that I took, which almost killed me, those antibiotics were more deadly to me than anything I've taken in my adult life. Horrible. But I lost 7 pounds from the teeth work, so that's a good thing. Suffering is good for weight loss of any kind. Go to michaelsavage.com, please, and sign the petition to get me off the list, unless you're an evil, mean liberal. Okay, when I come back, I promise, nursing home sex, horror stories, airline horror stories, hotel rooms, horror stories, 855-407-282. It's fun. Anything but healthcare, please. Please, I don't want to hear it. Nothing. I don't want to say one word on it. If I listen to it 1 minute, I'll gag. Two days with no show, I'm not working on a book. I don't know what to do with myself.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Opened up the fortune cookie that came with the greasy Chinese meal. You will soon be receiving some wonderful news. I've been waiting for years for that one. And my dog is choking to death next to me with asthma. You hear? Come on, Ted. Calm down. I'm on the air now. So now, listen, I just got the latest list of pre-existing conditions that the gangster regime under Obama put in his poison pills into Obamacare while he took a $400,000 Wall Street speech, $70 million book deal. But you still call him a liberal and a socialist, right? Typical socialist. Okay, they live like pigs on the top, and you wind up fighting over a salami in the supermarket. Now, many of these things I knew were on there in the pre-existing conditions, but here's a few others you're not going to believe that they put in. I'm not making this up. Pregnancy or expectant parent. What does that mean, expectant parent? Sleep apnea. Okay, that can be anything. Transsexualism is now a disease. I thought it was a lifestyle choice. How could that be an illness? Acne. Anxiety. Okay. Incontinence. Well, that would be the people on MSNBC. Migraine is on there. Do you go get treatment for that now? Varicose veins, I can get treated. Vertigo, I get treated too. It's like I'm afraid of heights and I get a little dizzy. I get like how many millions of dollars is that going to cost the government that Harry Reid and the gangster regime put in? Where is Harry Reid now that he retired? You don't see him anymore. I kind of miss the old codger. You know, the Republicans don't have a Harry Reid. That's what's missing in their party is one tough old guy who was a boxer. All these milquetoast guys are all creepy. But getting back to the main theme of the show, which is the, you know, horror stories. Is anyone listening to this? I hope so. Did I miss another live read? There's one every second now. My head's spinning. No? Between the book and the this, and the, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Do you hate your father? We have a special gift for those of you who hate your father. They're wool underwear for those allergic to wool. You can get 100 pair of free underwear for only $9.99 and throw in an extra pair of wool undershirts for an additional $99.99. Okay, KBOI, George, line three. Go ahead, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I heard you talk about talc, and for years I always thought that talc was as dangerous as asbestos. I'm a graduate of the University of Penn Dental School, 62.
And hold on, wait a minute. Now, talc, let me see if I understand this correctly, because I'm nowhere near an expert on this. The talc contains, is it asbestos in the talc from the mining of the talc?
Yeah, it's a mineral. Like asbestos. Why wouldn't it be?
Okay. So what I use a lot of talcum powder, but I don't use talc. I use talc-free baby powder, which is different, right?
Would be cornstarch.
Yeah, cornstarch.
Yeah, sure.
I'm from the old school, like one of the guys in The Sopranos. I powder every part of my body after a shower. No, it's all over the bathroom. I hope my dog, maybe that's why he's sick, from 10 years of inhaling talc, baby powder. I don't know.
Well, the other thing was I was on staff of 15 nursing homes back in the 80s. And the nurses would always joke in the morning how they had to go peel the guys off the women, the ones that wandered during the night.
So there was a lot of fornication in nursing homes, as I am told?
Absolutely. Unbelievable.
It's out of control. But wait a minute. And I'm not trying to be cute. I'm trying to be, you know, classy about it. Most old men have impotence. So where do they get the Viagra from? Is that prescribed?
Wrong about that. A lot of guys don't. Believe me.
They don't. A lot of guys don't become impotent?
Do not. I had a father-in-law at 95, and he had cholesterol off the roof, and he was not impotent. Nope. Not a bit.
Well, he wasn't innocent either, I'm sure.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, I have a friend, I won't mention his name, but his father lived to 98 and he was a plague at a nursing home. He had Alzheimer's, but he was also sexually out of his mind. They had to constrain him all the time. He was walking around constantly aroused. So I said to him, how does this happen? What's with you and your father? He said, we're Hungarian. I didn't know what that meant. Was it paprika? I don't know what he meant.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about so many subjects, and there are subjects I'd love to talk to you about. One about your cholesterol. Do you know that the latest studies are that as you get older, these numbers of the LDLs and HDLs are totally wrong for the public? An older person needs to have those numbers much higher to be healthy.
You mean the bad cholesterol should be higher?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I know. I trust my body. My body is not stupid.
Whole number. You know, what most people don't realize that the statins, like Lipitor, that is the same as red rice yeast. It's the same thing and was patented illegally by the...
Yes. No, I had a neurologist 15 years ago telling me about red rice yeast.
Yeah.
And it's no mystery. I mean, I don't use red rice yeast or any cholesterol-lowering drug, not because I'm being obstinate. I've tried them for a day and my legs become... I can't walk. So it affects my musculature immediately, and I know what it does to my liver. So I've taken it. You know what I do is I saturate my tissues with ascorbic acid, for example. I am literally saturated with high doses of very, very, very expensive mixed tocopherols known as vitamin E, but the best made. It's like the champagne of a vitamin E. And I also always my serum is saturated with ascorbate, to be honest with you. And the theory from my school of preventative health is that it's not the cholesterol per se. It's whether or not these particular fats adhere to the arterial wall and start the degradation of the arterial wall leading to plaque. And if you can keep your blood thin, so to speak, with these antioxidants, you're going to have a very, very low risk of such occlusion. What do you think of that idea?
Michael, what you need is a homocysteine formula, which is all your vitamin B complexes. The reason why...
Wait, you're lecturing the wrong guy on homocysteine. I read the original articles on this subject, which were done in the 1950s by a genius at Harvard, the whole homocysteine theory. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
That's right. That's right. And homocysteine is the danger. It's not the cholesterol. It's the homocysteine which causes the blood vessels to be inflamed, and that's why the plaque will adhere. If you have...
Well, that's another... Certainly, it's another variable, and I have very low homocysteine levels, incidentally, naturally.
Well, you should.
Perhaps because of the diet I'm on. But you know, those children who suffer what is it called? Progenia, where they age rapidly? Is that the name of the disease?
Yeah, that's right. And that's a high homocysteine level. Yeah.
Right. These poor kids who age rapidly and look like old people at 10 or 11 have off the charts homocysteine levels. And that's a great indicator of how deadly that marker really is. And yet none of the doctors that I know of will routinely check for homocysteine. It's a very expensive blood test. Medicare won't pay for it. And so people don't want to spend the money on it. But homocysteine, by the way, can be reduced greatly by diet. I can tell you the foods that will lower your homocysteine levels. And also by, as you just said, B6 in particular and B12 will absolutely reduce homocysteine levels. You agree with that?
Cysteine formula that is sold just for that, to keep it.
Yeah, but I can't plug a particular product, you know.
No, I'm just saying that's just what it's called.
I understand, but B6 in particular is... a nutrient that lowers homocysteine levels. You know that bananas are rich in B6? I once had a whole list of B6-rich foods. It's interesting because I always ate them. I don't eat bananas today. They're too sugary. Doctor, this is great. Doctor, you gave me some good news. I'm giving you a copy of my cookbook for the future, which is called Trump's War. It's a cookbook for what we should have Trump doing, but unfortunately, I think I lost my access to breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, and midnight snack, because I believe that the president believes in a patrimonial role of government and health care. I'm starting to see that he and the Republicans absolutely want to build a Leviathan government of a proportion we'll never believe. They're going to give out a cornucopia of social welfare programs. I mean, what's next? Open crony capitalism, more so than we see now? More pharaonic public works projects to satisfy Nancy Pelosi? I can guarantee you this is coming. I mean, we're on the road to perdition here. Now, not all of it is bad, okay? The jobs are up. The taxes are going to go down. There's no putting down a particular race day and night. We're not being beaten up for being a particular race. So there's some very good things happening. The police haven't come back yet. They're still afraid because of what Obama did to them. And so there's a lot of unrest in the streets of America. The police have not yet been re-empowered by Trump. He's staying out of the law and order issue, which is a real mistake. So I will have to wait and see. You know, it's that simple. I don't know what's going to happen. WFTL, Florida. Garrett, what's your vacation horror story? Tell us right now.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. This is a great story. A friend of mine and his family like going on exotic vacations, Africa, Egypt, so on. They decided to go to Dominican Republic 2 years ago, and I wanted you to hear this and your listeners. 2 years ago, they checked into a hotel, Dominican Republic. Within an hour, there was a knock on the door. There were the police came in. They pulled down the bed sheets. There were drugs there. It was a big setup. So his family gets arrested. Long story short, because of your show, they finally set free his wife and kids. But he stayed for 4 months. He was beaten. He had 3 trials, and his wife had to send $22,000 in cash, you know, in a check, and that's how he got out. So I'm calling it a Dominican Republic ripoff. People, be careful.
No, I'm not denying a word of what you say. There are countries that I wouldn't go near. There are countries I would not set foot in. The Caribbean right now is like the Pirates of Caribbean. There's hardly a place in the Caribbean that's safe. By and large, I mean, you can go to a 5-star resort, you stay on a yacht. The British Virgin Islands is still pretty good. But by and large, the other places are very, very dangerous in the Caribbean right now. It's very much like the Pirates of the Caribbean. You've got to be very careful.
He's a big guy.
Thank you for the call. Copy of Trump's War goes out to you. 855-407. Drugs planted in the bed. That's a nice one. Here's another one coming. WABC, L, Line 9. Give us your nursing home story.
It's not my story. It's a friend's story. She was an intern in a nursing home, and she comes into work the next day, and she hears that one of her patients fell off an old man's lap in the middle of the night when they were having sex. And the took away from that was, besides that, all the blue humor out.
They were having such violent sex, the oldsters, that she broke a hip?
Well, I don't know how violent it was, but she probably wasn't steady. They could have been doing it on the side of a bed in a wheelchair.
Oh, God.
Who knows?
Oh, it's so undignified. But look, this instinct is the last one to leave most people. The sex drive never leaves a person. It plagues people till the end, I hear.
Yeah, it's very...
It's a nightmare. I don't know why God does that to people. Why can't they make it go away at a certain point? Why must it stay with you and plague you? I don't know. In a nursing home, that's all that's on their mind? Even with diseases? I mean, illnesses and this, that's all they want? I remember a friend when he turned 50, I think I was 40, and I said to him, has it diminished? He said, no. Then he turned 60 and I was 50. I said, has your sex drive stopped driving you crazy? He said, no. Then he turned 70 and I turned 60 and I said, has your sex drive turned diminished? He said, no, it got worse. I mean, it's like a childhood illness that never goes away. When does this ever end? Why does God do this to people? Your hair falls out, your teeth fall out, and that's all a man thinks about until they put him into the into the ground. It's crazy. Why is that? What is it? Look, this is not a sexist thing to say. It's not true across the board, obviously, but it's also not true for women. A lot of women lose interest in this particular area of life. They're blessed in that regard. They can focus on things like shopping, grandchildren. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Mother's Day is coming up, let me tell you, and there's so many beautiful gifts, but there's nothing better than these incredible Sherry's berries. They are beautiful strawberries. They're freshly dipped, $19.99 plus shipping. And right now I have an exclusive offer for you. When you double the berries for Mom for just $10 more, she's going to get free cake truffles as well. That's like a whole extra gift for free. Pick your delivery date, and these berries are guaranteed to arrive fresh and delicious, your money back. I have sent dozens of gifts of Sherry's berries to family and friends, and they love me because of it. You may think you've seen gourmet dip strawberries before, but you've never, ever seen anything. You have to try them. The Sherry's are big, they're huge, they're sweet, they're juicy, and they're covered in any kind of topping you want. Chocolate chips, chopped nuts, white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. Sherry's berries are an unexpected gift. They'll put a smile on any mom's face. The only way to get this amazing deal is... Well, it's only $19.99, but you got to go to berries.com, click on the mic in the top right, and use my code SAVAGE. If you're going to buy the berries, you're going to go to berries.com, berries.com, and use my code SAVAGE when you click on the mic. This amazing deal won't last long, and Mother's Day is right around the corner, so be sure to order now. I have a special treat for you. Robert, do we have the tape ready to go? I just got a tape of my granddaughter singing a Mother's Day song up at her nursery school. I know it's cute. Guess what? We're going to play it. I want to hear it. Let's hear it, Robert. See, she goes to a normal school where there's actually mothers and fathers and children. Could you imagine that? They haven't been brainwashed yet? It's not in the San Francisco Bay Area. They don't sing Mother's Day songs here because it may be offensive to people who have two daddies. So they don't sing Mother's Day songs. Although in San Francisco, there's no such thing as no mothers. Even if it's two daddies, it's one mother. It's crazy. That's why people flee San Francisco when they have children. Unless they're too poor to leave the city, in which case... the kids are just beaten to death by lies. and horrors. I don't know how they come out of a school. Well, they go to some, they go to the religious schools, they get a training. Otherwise, the children are brainwashed here and really given a deficit before they even begin. I'll be back for another hour, and I hope you're going to be here to talk about all the news of the day, including the great tax savings with the new Health Care Act, which I'm not going to do. Just know that there are a lot of tax savings so far. Big deal. Let's see what happens when the senators get it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael.
It is the Savage Nation. Anything but the American Health Care Act. Welcome to hour number three. What else is in the news here? Let's see. There's stuff I didn't get to. 14 other United Airlines horror stories. Oh, this is a great story. And you have to read Trump's war to understand where I stand on Google and the pigs who run Google. The top executive thief, in my opinion, to Google's parent company, Alphabet, said that any restrictions on the H-1B foreign guest worker visa is the, quote, stupidest policy in the U.S. Alphabet's executive chairman, the great American patriot, Eric Schmidt, said he opposed all restrictions on the H-1B visa, where currently 1.8 million foreign workers are in a multitude of U.S. jobs. Schmidt had the audacity to say the stupidest policy in the entire American political system was the limit on H-1B visas. We want the best people in the world, regardless of any form of sex, race, country, what have you. We want them to work for us and not our competitors. Well, he's a liar. I'll flat out say that Eric Schmidt is a liar, because he can get great American workers if only he wanted to pay them a wage that they are entitled to. President of Protect U.S. Workers, Sarah Blackwell, who was a staunch critic of the H-1B visa program, lambasted this Schmendrick from Google's Alphabet, where she said that while American workers are being laid off and forced to train their replacements, the Google Alphabet executive is reaping the benefits. Blackwell said the only stupid thing would be if Americans believed these lies and propaganda. The person who benefits from this awful use of H-1B is Eric Schmidt. He wants to continue the termination of American workers and forcing them to train their foreign replacements. But in the end, guess who wins? Eric Schmidt, who made $108 million every year. So, my friends, as you understand, the pirates of Silicon Valley have not yet been reined in under the Trump administration. It scares me to think that they may have lobbied their way out of paying their fair share, and also that we're not going to see the H-1B visa program eliminated. But in Trump's war is battle for America, I really, really, really want you to please read about this story. It's so important, because unless we can get Trump to force the Justice Department's antitrust division to look into breaking up these overly large companies, which are bigger than most countries' economies, and in order to make them pay their fair share of taxes, we're going to continue to lose jobs, and wages will continue to come down for IT workers in particular. It's all in Trump's war in one of the chapters, as are many, many other important stories. In fact, they're more important today than when I wrote the book. Rochelle, KSFO, Line 8, what's on your mind?
I was calling to tell you about an 88-year-old man that can barely get around, but he has, as of the last 2 months, discovered that it all still works down there, and has gone crazy and has spent about $20,000 outright that I know of, unless you include the $30,000 car that he bought for his neighbor lady that he wants. But
he spends the $20,000, what, to procure women? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Massages, in quotation.
88 years old, and he still goes for that?
still goes, I mean, just crazy. He just discovered after 27 years that it still works.
What do you mean? You mean for 27 years? For 27 years, he didn't know it worked?
Right.
Well, how do you discover it after 20? How do you discover it between age 60 something and 88 that all of a sudden it worked? How do you discover that?
He went for a massage, and I could put the X.
I know, no, it was nicely put. It was very classy. That's very high end. Now, you're not talking about someone you know personally, are you?
I am, and I've been talking my face blue, and he won't listen. And
well, it's not your husband, is it, Rochelle? Please tell me it's not your husband, is it?
Oh, my Lord, no.
So wait a minute. Come on, now you got my curiosity piqued. If it is not your husband, who is this 88-year-old who and he has one leg, and he discovered that this other thing works, and he's spending $20,000 on massages? Who is this guy to you?
Someone that I was referred to. I do caregiving and assistance.
Oh, thank God. I was really holding my breath on that one.
But he was fine when I first met him. I met him about 6 months ago.
Well, you don't want to go in that apartment with him alone anymore, do you? Now you're afraid of him, probably.
He's harmless, and he's just a dear, sweet man. And I said,
well, what do you mean he's harmless? You just said that he's he's running around to massage parlors.
Yes, 3-4 times a day.
He goes to 3-4 massage parlors a day?
A day, my friend.
Does he take a day off for church or 7 days a week?
Oh, no. that's his main problem, is he's got no God, so.
Well, he has a God. He discovered it finally after 27 years.
There it is. There you go.
Now, after 27 years, he found out where his God was. That's not a bad joke. Jimmy dropped the phone and started to laugh. It's crazy. Rochelle, I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage. I absolutely love you, and you have saved my life many times. So,
well, I try to have a good time on the radio. It's not easy lately. I got to tell you the truth. Why I'm feeling good today is a miracle. I have no idea why. I shouldn't feel good. I should feel horrible. Because look what I got to look forward to. The show's over in about 50 minutes. I go to the dentist. What more can I want? Again, a dentist to look at the implant. With the mouth open, sitting in the chair with the light in your eye. God. Well, it's just a checkup. I hope they don't, then they pick at it again, cause a little more damage, a little bleeding, and then you go out for a drink and you're fine. But then there's the nightmare of Friday night, all day Saturday, Saturday night, all day Sunday, Sunday night, till the show comes again on Monday. And the truth is, I am finishing up the God Book. But I didn't want to talk about the God Book when we're talking about old age horror sex. You want to hear something funny, though, about the God Book, now that I mentioned it? It just came to me. I don't think it's the right time. I decided that I was going to get closer to God again. I think I'm at that phase of my life again, like I was a number of decades ago, where I moved so far away from God, I became so cynical, that my life started to like unravel in a certain way. My head started to unravel. And it was only getting closer to God that I really got it all together again, and that's when my whole life and career took off. It's a fact of reality. I mean, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. It's not like my life is unraveling, but I don't feel connected to the spiritual as much as I was, and I want to be, and I know how to do it. I know who to be with. I know how to be there. You know, it's an interesting story. Do I have 3 minutes to tell this one? I don't know where this came up. You're not going to believe this story. It's 1,000% true. Listen to this story. I think it was a week ago before the dental work. I had been in L.A. I came back. I wasn't feeling great. I had the flu and this and that. That night, on a Wednesday night, I have a dream that I'm in a huge convocation of religious Jews, and I'm wandering around looking for a seat, and I can't find one. And I mean, it was like tens of thousands of people in some almost biblical setting. Everyone had a seat, and I couldn't find one. I was looking, walking, and just looking for a seat. And finally, I find a seat and sit down. The very next morning, I get an email from one of the most prominent leaders of the Chabad Orthodox religious group in America who I've rarely spoken with. I think I met him once many years ago, out of the blue. And he says to me, we're having a meeting tomorrow in Los Angeles of 80 of the top rabbis in California, the most orthodox. I'm not talking about the liberals. I'm talking about the heavy duty, heavy biblical guys. And there are no attendees who are not rabbis. We're inviting you to be with us. I have no idea why they thought of me, and I couldn't understand it. I said, this is a super honor, but I can't go because I just got back from L.A., and the next day I have to go for a, you know, for an implant of a bone. I didn't go, but I'm telling you, this is like weird. So I know that in my wanting to reach out to my spiritual road and get back and reconnected with my spirituality, I know I already contacted some kind of vibration in the universe that has definitely gone back down to this plane and had an immediate reverberation into my life, and that's how it works. That's what I'm trying to say to you, is that once you tune in my case, it was subconscious. I needed to, I guess. But what I'm saying is once you're being really, not the mumbo jumbo, maybe the mumbo jumbo can get you there. And maybe it does, like going through the act. It's like saying if you smile, you feel better. So maybe just doing the ritual of religion makes people contact the spiritual core of their own being, which resonates with the higher power, and the higher power then resonates back down on the earth and does things for us and to us. I don't know, but I sense that that's how it works. There's a resonance factor. So when you say, I'm working on my God book, there it is. I'm working on my God book. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, let me give you some free good news. You know, a lot of us take low-dose aspirin to reduce the risk of heart disease. That's well known. But did you know that low-dose aspirin, according to some really good studies, prevents the spread and growth of cancer? And this is not why it has not been as widely disseminated for obvious reasons. But the story is very important. Low-dose aspirin prevents the spread and growth of cancer. Researchers from Oregon Health and Science University and Oregon State found that the same daily doses of aspirin used against strokes and heart attacks also corrals cancer cells, blocking them from traveling to other parts of the body. The researchers found over 10 years ago that aspirin appeared to play a role in preventing cancer spread, but they didn't know how it worked. And now they do know how it works. It does not aspirin does not kill cancer cells, but it does appear to prevent tumors from spreading. And it doesn't work directly on cancer cells. Instead, the miracle drug called aspirin has to do with its relationship with platelets in the blood. And I'm not going to read you the details of it. You can find it yourself. And it dulls the response of this traveling of the cancer cells. Now, okay, we know that in the 1980s, researchers discovered that taking low doses of aspirin, 80 mg a day, can help protect against strokes and heart disease. But 10 years ago, they also noticed it seemed to have an effect against cancer as well. And the latest research confirms that. You should know that regular aspirin does the same thing. It's just that people don't take the full 3 1/4 for the associated bleeding. I happen to take a high dose of aspirin, by the way, every night. I have a doctor friend who takes a high aspirin in the morning and at night, by the way, and we don't bleed. So now you're going to read the researchers don't recommend that people start using aspirin without doctor's support. All right, do what you want. I recommend you read the AJP Cell Physiology Journal, and you'll see what the miracle is called aspirin. And by the way, in the years I was an herbal medicine researcher, a phytochemist, as it were, I remember reading about how aspirin, the drug, or aspirin, the medicine, if you want to call it that, it's still a miracle drug, the numbers of things it does, was originally discovered. And the way the story goes, and I believe it's true, was a young man whose father suffered from arthritis had heard from a folk healer somewhere in Eastern Europe in the 1880s, I believe, that a bark from the willow tree, Salix alba, when infused in hot water, created a drink that reduced the inflammation and the associated, arthritis. So he started to look into what was in this bark, this white willow bark. Salix alba, and he discovered salicylic acid. And he then actually synthesized the synthetic version of salicylic acid called acetyl salicylic acid, known as aspirin. And his name was Mr. Bayer. That's the story, and it's obviously a true story. It's an amazing story of nature's pharmacy, and something I've studied for years and years. I was once obsessed with this topic. For 40 years, I wandered in the world of herbal medicine because nature's bounty is limitless, not only terrestrially on the earth, but under the sea. I mean, that's a whole area of study that I was once involved in very tangentially. My professor of pharmacology way back when was a man who was an expert at sea creatures and the medicinal quality properties found in the sea creatures. I have lost touch with him. I've lost touch with the field. But what I'm saying to you is, even in this age of iPhones and everything technological and screens and everything is synthetic and fake, well, nature isn't fake, and nature still has some pretty miraculous healing things, healing elements or such for us to find. We haven't discovered all of them by any means. When you consider that there are over 600,000 flowering plants on Earth and only a few of them have been really touched upon, the surface has only been begun to be looked at. So nature's pharmacy, great, great area. And again, we're going back to the story of low-dose aspirin prevents the spread and the growth of cancer, according to legitimate scientists at fine universities and published in a fine journal. And the journal, you can read it for yourself if you're into this, is AJP Cell Physiology. It's a great story. It's a very encouraging story. And you should not give up on natural products just because the propaganda will tell you, oh, it doesn't really work, but it can't hurt you. Go ahead, Mark. You keep taking that stuff. But if you really want to reduce your risk, take this really expensive medicine to lower your risk, or take 10 different expensive medicines. And that's how the pharmaceutical medical establishment works. Well, okay, great. There are life-saving drugs and there are life-saving doctors. But on the other hand, preventative medicine is the key for all of us. Right? That's what I'm trying to tell you. That brings me right back to the God Book, which I'm going to tell you much more about in the weeks to come as the healing properties of prayer are exhibited on this show.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We know the airline horror stories. We know all of them. We know about the United Airlines passenger who boarded a plane in Newark, New Jersey, believing that she was headed to Paris, but she wound up in San Francisco. That was one. Not a big deal. But we have loads of other stories. I mean, they're coming out every day, aren't we, of what goes on in airplanes now. Woman says man groped her on United flight and after... And the attendants kept bringing him whiskeys. Well, I hope that wasn't true. We've got all sorts of horror stories here. Urine-drenched seats. I know, it's disgusting. What do you expect with mass travel today? Urine-drenched seat. How about getting stuck between two 300-pounders and ask them to move you anywhere? Please put me in the baggage compartment. A scorpion in the overhead bin. Barred from traveling and flying with leggings on. Trapped in the plane for hours after landing in Dallas. A dog's ill-fated voyage. Poor little golden retriever. I don't even want to tell you what happened to him. A child sent to fly alone, missing a connection. No empathy for autism. Someone asked for a seat change and was arrested. I swear to you. There's so many other horror stories in airplanes today, and it's a product, of course, of mass travel. Not everyone can afford private jets. So this is what goes on. They're called Airbus for a reason. You're on a bus. There's no elegance in flying. You're on a bus. I told you when I was poor and young, I went to Miami from New York on a bus. And it was so horrible that people were eating fried chicken in Atlanta. We stopped 2 in the morning because we had to get out. They locked the doors and made us buy it in the rest stop as the guy's sister ran it or something. It was quite delicious. And the other passengers on the bus threw the chicken bones in the aisle. I mean, that's airlines. That's coming tomorrow. Chicken bones in the aisles. Remember, there used to be an ad in the 50s or 60s. They'll be dancing in the aisles for Greek Airways. Ha, 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 ha. I don't even think the Greeks still have an airline. The thing that triggered this was a German tourist came to New York, and being the good liberal that she was, she took an Airbnb up in Harlem because she believed in diversity. Well, unfortunately, she had her teeth knocked out during a horrific robbery and sexual assault in Harlem. And, you know, you don't say she... horrible, 31 years old, gone to a bar, again, with colleagues after a seminar at John Jay College on West 59th Street, and then took the subway back uptown to an Airbnb rental early Thursday. So she was walking at 2:50 in the morning. She's from Germany, of course. And she believes in diversity. Look how well it's worked out for Germany. So she gets an Airbnb up there in Harlem, West 146th Street, between Frederick Douglass Boulevard and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard, right near Jackie Robinson Park, at almost 3 in the morning, when a man wearing a hoodie approaches her. You could see the video on the New York Post. The man holds the German tourist against the wall, grabs her bag containing her passport and laptop. The German tourist apparently got hit in the face by the gentleman from Harlem. He hits her so hard that she's knocked to the ground. The gentleman from Harlem then hits her on the ground 3 more times, breaking her teeth. The man runs away because the German tourist was yelling. But then the man comes back when she passes out and gave her a good raping. The sicko, the gentleman from Harlem. Teeth knocked out, head beaten up. The thug then flees on 146th Street with the victim's purse. I mean, it's a terrible story. No arrests have been made. I doubt that they will be made because that would be horrible to do an arrest like that. The assailant is described. I don't have to read what his description is. You can go to the New York Post and find it. And then the other day we read about popular vacation spots that are death traps for Americans. Who would go to Belize other than a drug smuggler? I mean, why go to Belize when you can go to Miami? What's wrong with you people? You saw the horrible story of an American man and his Canadian girlfriend found dead in the middle of a field in Belize with their hands tied behind their back. Terrible. When you go for a beach, what do you think's going to happen there in the middle of the night? Belize has the 7th highest murder rate per capita in the world, as reported on Zero Hedge. Carjacking traps are something to worry about in the rural areas of Belize. Belize City. But there are other dangerous vacation spots that are sold as paradises on Earth. You know what they are? Oh, they have pristine beaches, but you're not a sea turtle. If you were a sea turtle, maybe you'd go to Jamaica, Barbados, Costa Rica, and the Dominican Republic. But they all make Zero Hedge's top 25 of death zones for Yankee travelers. Guess what is number one? Mexico! Go celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you morons, you! Number one, in terms of sheer murders, 598 Americans murdered between 2009 and 2016. So there are vacation spots that are death traps. Please, I wish Trump would get out of the news for a month. Can he just take a vacation? He's going to go see the Pope now, and who's next? Where's he going? He's going to go see the Pope. Of course, Netanyahu's on the list, break some matzah with him. France is already over. The Nationalists lost and Rothschild Bank won. Macaroni is going to win. Macaroni, the guy with the cold, staring, horrible, socialist death eyes from the Rothschild Bank. Don't you just love it, the man of the people from the Rothschild Bank? That's like Obama was the man of the people. $70 million book advance and $400,000 speech to Wall Street. A man of the people. You schmendricks. And you bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. I never bought it. I don't buy anything. By the way, thank you for signing the petition. We have over 10,000 names so far, which is a very, very good critical mass. And you're not going to believe it, but I sent the petition to get my name off the list, which I'm going to present to the president electronically via Sean Spicer and Renzo Priebus, whoever else I can reach. We'll see if he actually gets it and if he does anything about it. I sent it to my friends at the Chabad Jewish Organization because they did try to intervene on my behalf with no success many years ago. I feel maybe if a large Orthodox religious organization could get me 5,000 signatures in addition to the 10,000 I have, I think the president might understand there's political hay to be made. And being a politician, even his Republican cohorts might say, we better do something, even if it's lip service. So if you are a religious person in a Christian organization or a Jewish organization or a Buddhist organization or a Hindu organization, would you please download the petition on michaelsavage.com and circulate it amongst your co-religionists? Because it's not just about me, it's about all of us. Why should I be linked up with Ku Klux Klan members, American Nazis, Russian skinheads who killed tourists, Hamas murderers who beat in the heads of Jewish children's brains? That's the same list I'm on. And you liberals think that's fair? Let me tell you something. If they can do that to me today, they'll do it to you tomorrow. Since the anniversary of this horrendous crime against my reputation, everyone in the media should be behind me. It's interesting, at the time, even the ACLU, they meekly said something on my behalf. You got to hear some of the sound from that era. But I'm asking you this. If you sign this petition, which I hope you will do, and we send it to Donald Trump, you go to michaelsavage.com to sign the petition urging President Trump to demand Britain remove Michael Savage from its travel ban. You know, there's something going on in the radio business that nobody knows or will tell you about. There has been a huge loss of interest in politics in the last few weeks. I've noticed it. I'm very intuitive, and I've been in the business for many years. It's either because Donald Trump has, let us say, stepped aside from the conservative messaging, or because people don't care anymore, or they feel the election is over. Something's going on, and I don't know what it is. But I want to ask you, do you think that when we present the petition to Donald Trump, whatever the number is, 10,000 at the time, 20, 100, do you think Donald Trump will go to bat for me, yes or no? I know the RNC wouldn't lift a finger if one of us was threatened with a guillotine in France. If one of us were to be detained in France and threatened with the guillotine, they wouldn't step in. I understand who these turncoat Republican check pant country club cowards are. I've always hated them. They've always turned my stomach. I never liked them. I hated them from the day I began in radio. I've never been a Republican. I've always been an independent. So don't tell me about Republicans. I know what the Republican Party stands for. This is nothing new to me. Okay. That's not the issue. Donald Trump right now has a loss of credibility with his base. That's a statement that's whole and unto itself. People do not know where he stands on his original messaging. Wouldn't this send a message to his base that he still does care about them? I want to go to another question about the Queen, the royal family. To me, they're a bunch of parasites. Now, I know maybe I just dug my own hole a little deeper. How in the world can anyone listening to this show tell me that people who don't work for a living and live like they do are not parasitic on the British people? Where does the money come from? Why in the world would the British people maintain a royal family? We're not living in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. I believe this whole concept of a royal family is absurd in an age when people are struggling as they are, whether it be in Britain or anywhere else. It's an anachronism. I think it's time to talk about it. But then again, we're Americans. We don't have a royalist tradition. In fact, our revolution was to reject royalty. Do you know that? Does anyone in the media remember all of the bootlickers in the media who kissed the royal family's feet when they come here? Prince this, prince that, princess this. You know, I was raised to hate royal families by my father. I don't know whether he was, I know he was not, let's put it this way, I don't know what his politics were. He was a liberal for sure because he was an immigrant and very poor, and he always thought that the rich hated the poor, and the rich would screw the poor any way they could. So I was raised on that mentality. It really was true, by the way. Probably still is true, incidentally. And he said to me, he saved most of his worst vitriol for Prince Charles, who was a little kid at the time. He said that beard, big-eared, inbred, good-for-nothing, does-nothing. You know, he really hated these people because they were parasites, and he was a hard worker. And to him, hard work was a sign of manhood. And being a lazy bum who sat around doing that. And by the way, look at Prince Charles. Not only is he a lazy individual, all he does is talk about things like global warming and sit on the heaths painting pictures. And so, you know, ask yourself, all those castles, all of that, those priceless antiques. But I understand this is not a popular statement to make, especially when I'm now appealing to have my name removed from the travel ban list. But what does one thing have to do with the other? And by the way, when this happened way back when, the British people were by and large in every poll on my side. That was before the major Muslim invasion of today. It was already a minor invasion. Now it's a major invasion. So we have a choice in this country about this, you know. And we're going to have to think about it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Breaking news. A great American hero and a patriot was nominated to be the Army Secretary, but owing to the pressure of the LGBT and, you're not going to believe this, questionable Muslim groups such as the Council on American Islamic Relations, he has just withdrawn his name to be the Army Secretary. Now, here is a man who is a West Point graduate. He is a doctor. He served in Iraq, deployed three times overseas, but yet the gay and lesbian groups and the Muslim groups, along with John McCain, questioned his ability to serve. The man is also a devout Christian, and that evil turncoat, backstabbing sack of garbage, Senator John McCain joined the LGBT crowd and the Muslim crowd to stick a knife in his back, along with three dozen Democrats asking the Senate to reject Green's nomination, arguing he cannot be trusted to ensure that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender soldiers are able to serve without discrimination or harassment. In other words, fighting spirit doesn't matter. Ability to defeat an enemy doesn't matter. All that matters is that the social warriors of the radical left and of the Muslim brigades get their way. And so this fabulous man was smeared, pushed in the mud, physician, Iraq war veteran, West Point graduate, deployed three times overseas. That wasn't good enough for the LGBT crowd and for the Muslim fanatics. He's gone. And he said, unfortunately, due to false and misleading attacks against me, this nomination has become a distraction. Tragically, my life of public service and my Christian beliefs have been mischaracterized and attacked by a few on the other side of the aisle for political gain. You know, we support him. It's a shame that nothing has changed under Trump in that regard. I told you he's not engaged in the social issues, which is a tragedy for America. On a positive note for myself, we have over 15,000 signatures now. It's gone from 10,000 when the show began to 15,000 when the show ended. I don't know how that happened. It's a miracle. Maybe it's the hand of God. Please sign the petition to get my name off that list with murderers, and I mean murderers, that bars me from entering the great nation of Britain. The great nations of Great Britain, by the way. And also, you should know that Trump's War is still a huge bestseller and still contains the entire blueprint for Donald Trump's campaign and for his administration. And the only way we're going to continue to keep him focused on what it is we elected him for is through an educated block of voters like you. Please share your Trump's war with someone who doesn't really know what he promised and what the Republicans are doing to him. This is the Savage Nation. Thank you very much for signing the petition. Thank you very much for your listening to this show. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return on Monday. Good night.